Hello, this is Lincoln with the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, April 10th, 2025. We begin at the top of the front page. Iroquois County approves text amendments for solar, wind, and battery ordinances. At its April 8th meeting, the Iroquois County Board approved text amendments for the solar, wind, and battery ordinances. During the meeting, board member Doug Geiger, chair of the Tax and Zoning Committee, read from the minutes for the committee's April 1st meeting about the ordinances. He said the committee met with Andrew Kent, who is with the law firm Hale Royster, and was retained by Iroquois County State's Attorney Michael Quinlan to help in the adoption process for the three ordinances. Kite explained the process of the text amendment statement. The county already has a code of ordinances in place. What on earth? Place and an established board of appeals, he read from the minutes. Kite said he has been working with Geiger on creating draft ordinances for the county board to consider. The Tax Planning and Zoning Committee will make a recommendation to the county board on whether to move forward with the text amendment process for the three ordinances. From there, the county board will make resolutions to apply for the tax amendment and submit an application to the Planning and Zoning Office to amend the ordinances. The Zoning Board of Appeals will hold a public hearing and publish the information. A recommendation will be made to the County Board, and the County Board will make their decision to adopt the ordinances or send the ordinances back to the Zoning Board of Appeals. It was noted that Kite said the goal is to have the ordinances in place by May 13th. The committee minutes Geiger read indicate that the committee recommended the county board apply for the text amendment in accordance with the language reflected in the draft solar ordinance, wind ordinance, and battery ordinance. At the April 8th meeting, the county board approved those recommendations, with board members Jody Munsterman, Jamie Bakken, and Mitchell Benz voting no on the solar energy facility ordinance. Munsterman, Bakken, and Benz voting no on the winter energy facility ordinance, and Munsterman, Bakken, Benz, Jed Whitlow, and Charlie Alt voting no on the battery energy storage facility ordinance. The public hearing is set for May 5th at the Iroquois County Administrative Center. In the April 8th meeting, board member Kathleen Perkinson said that the attorney had noted there is a statute enacted by the state in 2023 that established standards or reviews of renewable projects, and county boards cannot be more restrictive than those state statutes, which effectively takes local control out of the equation. So we're mandated by the state to have standards that we can't be more restrictive for. So I think it's important to note that. That's why we are having this discussion and why we are backpedaling quite a bit from the ordinances that we've been looking at for the last few months. I would say that they are watered down, but they are watered down the way the state is mandating that they be watered down. A point I have is that if the state can take away local control, can the federal government take away state control of renewables? And is there anything we can do about state control of what is going on in our communities to give us more say in what we have here? Board Chairman Paul Ducat said, "The Constitution states the state takes care of the state, the county takes care of the county. I do think certain things need to stay the way they are, and we need to stand up because they don't care about the people of Iroquois County." Ducat went on to say that Governor J.B. Pritzker does not care about the people of Illinois, noting that he has been running around wanting to be president. Ducat said, "We do what we have to do. There are some things we have to follow. At the same time, we have to take a stand." In the minutes, Geiger read into the record some of the reviews in the ordinances Kite looked at include solar ordinance, application fees. Any unused fees shall be reimbursed to the applicant upon issuance of a building permit or 18 days after the decision of the county board, whichever is later. The applicant may apply unused conditional use permit application fees towards the building permit fee. Solar ordinance, application fees. Any unused fees shall be reimbursed to the applicant upon issuance of a building permit or 180 days after the decision of the county board, whichever is later. The applicant may apply unused conditional use permit application fees toward the building permit fee. Reviewed applications requirements. Page 13. The facility owner must enter into an agricultural impact mitigation agreement with the Illinois Department of Agriculture and participating property owners prior to the date of a public hearing on the conditional use permit application. Page 14, application acceptance. The application filing date shall be the date on which the county determines the application is complete. Pages 15 and 16, reviewed setbacks. Page 16, reviewed road use agreements. Page 18, reviewed landscape plan. A living buffer of evergreen trees must be planted and maintained during construction. An alternative buffer may also be considered. Page 23, reviewed noise levels and inspections. Page 24, reviewed decommissioning plan. Decommissioning financial assurances shall be compliant with the AIIMA, and the decommissioning agreement must be reviewed, approved by the county board. Page 25, reviewed defaults and remedies. Page 27 and 28, reviewed factors for consideration. Wind ordinance. Page 10, reviewed application fees prior to processing any conditional use permit application. Excuse me. For a CWEF, the applicant must submit a cashier's check or electronic funds made payable to the county for the conditional use permit application fee equal to $5,000 per megawatt of proposed nameplate generating capacity up to a maximum fee of $250,000. Page 14, reviewed coordination with local fire departments. Page 14, reviewed road use agreements. Page 17, reviewed interference. Page 19, reviewed shadow flicker. Shadow flicker shall not affect any occupied community building or non-participating residents more than 30 hours per year under planned operating conditions. Page 19, reviewed lighting. Applicant shall apply for an aircraft detection lighting system, ADLS, or other similar technology to reduce light pollution and visual impacts caused by the CWEF. If approved by the relevant federal authorities, the applicant shall install the ADLS system and operate said system during the duration of the project, except such time necessary for testing and repairs of the ADLS system. Page 21, reviewed power and communication lines. Julie shall be contacted before commencing any excavations or digging. Page 25, reviewed decommissioning plan. Page 26, reviewed insurance requirements. Page 27, reviewed defaults and remedies. Battery ordinance. Page 6, reviewed battery energy storage system. BESS Tier 1, a BESS that has an aggregate energy capacity less than or equal to 600 kilowatt hours, and if in a room or enclosed area consists of only a single BESS unit. Tier 2, a BESS that has an aggregate energy capacity greater than 600 kilowatt hours or is comprised of more than one BESS unit for the primary purpose of storing electricity for wholesale or retail sale. Page 13, reviewed coordination with local fire departments. Decommissioning agreement and road use agreements are similar to the wind and solar ordinances. County Board Chairman Paul Decotte said after the meeting that there are counties that have several lawsuits with regard to ordinances. They changed some things. This was probably the right thing to do because we could be like Grundy County, which has 30 lawsuits for one side, on one side for it, and 30 lawsuits against. I heavily feel that we are protecting the people of the county. That's ordinances and resolutions that have to get passed. He said there are people on the committee who voted against the ordinances. I'm with them, but we have to pass them because if we don't, any law over what they are going to do, and we would probably get lawsuits because we have nothing set up in time. And then B, we'd have to follow the state, and I'm not one for following the state. We're doing the best we can for the people to protect them. That's the biggest, simplest way to put it. It's a nightmare of all the laws we have to go through. Earlier in the meeting, Ross Kluver, who lives near north of Buckley, said he is concerned about the solar farm that is going on north of Buckley. I think our farmland should be preserved instead of covered with solar panels, but people own the farmland. I guess they can do what they want with it, he said. Last week we had in southern Iroquois County a couple of tornadoes that went through. If they've seen the damage, it's just spread over miles. There's building material for miles. If we get this 300 acres solar farm, what's going to happen with that stuff when a tornado goes through and it spreads out for 5 miles? I guess there's funds for when a solar farm is finished to clean it up and they can farm it again, but what kind of funds are there to clean up storm damage when it's spread out over half the county, he said. Clover said a representative of the company stopped by his house and said a transmission line that will go past his house. I stepped it off and it's like 100-110 feet. I don't think that's right to bring a big transmission line basically through my front yard. Iroquois County Board hears from local mental health center executive director by Carla Waters, managing editor. Iroquois County Board members heard from the new executive director of Iroquois Mental Health Center. Amy Zabel said she wanted to introduce herself to everyone. I started in October of last year. I was employed at the Mental Health Center from 20 to 21. She took a short hiatus and then worked in human resources after finishing 4 years at Olivet Nazarene University. She said she was invited by some board members to apply for the executive director position. I just wanted to give you a quick flyover of what is going on at the Iroquois Mental Health Center, she said. One of the goals we have for the coming fiscal year is to increase our community management and outreach. We've been in the community since 1970. She said she is looking forward to getting to know people in the community. She also distributed information about the center. There are 2,233 people served annually with 32,067 hours of therapy services provided in fiscal year 24 at the Watsika office, county jail, and local schools. The center is a nonprofit community health center and serves clients of all ages. Our mission is to help clients effectively deal with obstacles that may arise in their lives, reads the information. There are crisis services, including walk-in crisis support, that is available during business hours. The call-in support is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and can be reached at 815-432-5241. The center has locations also in Kankakee, Manteno, Hoopston, and Danville. Outpatient mental health services include individual, family, and group therapy for all ages. This service includes art therapy, play therapy, and more. Outpatient substance use disorder services include early intervention, outpatient, and intensive outpatient services for adolescents and adults, gambling addiction services for adolescents and adults, and comprehensive DUI services. Psychiatry services include a psychiatrist, psychiatric nurse practitioner, and registered nurse who are available for people ages 15 and older. There are evaluations and mediation monitoring. Community outreach includes a long-term relationship with SALT and Mitford Schools to provide in-school mental health services on a weekly basis, mental health awareness and education for schools and businesses, and peer support and education for first responders and families. At the jail, the mental health services include a weekly service and a provider for a pilot program through the state for jail-based mental health services. The center provides therapy, education, and psychiatric services as a state hospitalization diversion program for individuals who are unfit to stand trial. The ARC pledges to keep road clean in Watseka Adopt-a-Street program by Carla Waters, managing editor. Cleanup duties along Elm Street Cemetery Road in Watseka have officially been designated to the ARC of Iroquois County. A group of volunteers from the ARC have committed to cleaning up the trash along the road from North 4th Street to Oak Hill Road through the city's Adopt-a-Street program. John Owens, service coordinator from the ARC, said they had approached the city a while back about adopting the road. They were very receptive, he said. Lauren Grosvenor, Public Works Director, and I have spoken on several occasions. Owens said they got all the paperwork finalized and the equipment set up, and the group of about 20 volunteers has been out 3 times so far. They first went out on trash pickup duties in mid-March. The volunteers have gloves, hats, eyewear, long sleeves, and long pants are the required attire. The wood shop at the ARC made some safety cones for the group to use. It's been great, he said. We usually take 5 to 6 people out at a time, he said. We agreed to do it quarterly, but it's a huge enterprise, so we're thinking more like weekly. The volunteers are part of the Wells Career Center, which is the day program of the ARC. That program starts at 9 a.m. and ends at 2 p.m. There are many other things going on at the ARC, he said, with a greenhouse starting to open and other projects. Because of that, he said they will be spending more days a month than what was thought originally. Everybody I have talked to about it has been excited to do it and looking forward to it, he said. The city provides the bags, and once we get the bags full and we bring it back here and we set it in between our greenhouse sign and the road, and the city comes and picks it up. There are signs that officially designate the road as the ARC's Adopt-a-Street area. He said so far the volunteers have concentrated on the area out by Oak Hill Cemetery. We've still got a lot of work to do, he said. I noticed that there are some patches where it looks like somebody has just taken a trash bag and opened it up in a couple of places. Owens said he also brought trash grabber poles for everyone to use so they don't have to touch the trash. There's at least one staff supervising at all times, Owens said, noting that they adhere to safety procedures the entire time. He said they're going to use golf carts once the weather gets nicer to get to and from the areas they are cleaning up. This is strictly voluntary. Nobody is expecting anything, Owens said, of the volunteers. He said, it is the goal of the ARC to get people out in the community as much as possible. Those who would want to adopt an area of their own may contact Watseka City Hall for more information. Onarga man arrested after standoff with police. An Onarga man was arrested after a standoff with police April 3rd. According to information from the Iroquois County Sheriff's Police, James R. Nelson, 39, faces charges of possession of explosives or explosive or incendiary devices and aggravated battery of a peace officer. The incident started when deputies conducted a traffic stop of a vehicle on West Lincoln Avenue in Onarga for a suspended registration. Upon approaching the vehicle, the officer identified the front seat passenger as James R. Nelson, age 39, of Onarga, Illinois, whom they knew to be wanted on an outstanding Iroquois County felony arrest warrant for aggravated fleeing and eluding, reads the news release. Mr. Nelson refused to exit the vehicle when asked. As the officer attempted to take Mr. Nelson into custody, he reached into the back seat of the vehicle and produced an object which he claimed to be a bomb and threatened to detonate it. Mr. Nelson then fled the traffic stop on foot, running into a nearby residence. The perimeter was secured, and the sheriff's office requested the assistance of the East Central Illinois Bomb Squad and the Kankakee County Emergency Response Team. A coordinated search of the residence eventually resulted in the discovery of Mr. Nelson hiding in the attic. Mr. Nelson was taken into custody and transported to Iroquois Memorial Hospital for treatment of injuries sustained during his arrest. The bomb squad subsequently conducted a sweep of the residence, at which time they located the item possessed by Mr. Nelson on the traffic stop. The item in question was confirmed to be an explosive device and was ultimately rendered safe. At the time of this release, Mr. Nelson remains hospitalized. Upon his release, Mr. Nelson faces charges of possession of explosive or incendiary devices and aggravated battery of a police officer. Additional agencies assisted the sheriff's office at the scene, including the Illinois State Police and Conservation Police. And now, obituaries. Lisa Ann Miller, 56, of Gilman, passed away on Thursday, April 3rd, 2025, at her residence. She was born on December 17th, 1968, in Kankakee, a daughter of Earl A. and Joe Prizer Blank. Lisa married Clifford A. Miller on October 22nd, 1994, in Gilman, and he survives. Also surviving are two sons, Trenton Talise Miller of Normal and Tony Amy Miller of Gilman, one daughter, Robin Darren Warren of Sheldon, six grandchildren, Kaylee and Nicholas Warren, Ashton, Austin, Aiden, and Autumn Miller, both of her parents of Gilman, three sisters, Robin Faust of North Carolina, Cindy Glenn Stark of Tolono, Lana Berry Daniels of North Carolina, and several nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her brother-in-law, Skip Faust. A private memorial service will be held at a later date. Memorials may be made to the Lisa Miller Memorial Fund for local cancer support group. Contributions can be sent in care of the Knapp Funeral Home, 219 South 4th Street, Watseka, Illinois, 60970. Arrangements are by the Knapp Redenius Funeral Home in Gilman. Please share a memory of Lisa at www.knappfuneralhomes.com. Geraldine A. Jerry Schult, 100, of Buckley, died at 5:59 a.m. Sunday, April 6, 2025, at Riverside Medical Center, Kankakee. Funeral services will be held at 12 p.m. Friday, April 11th, today, at 2025, at St. John's Lutheran Church, Buckley, with Reverend J. Kevin Wyckoff officiating. Burial will follow in St. John's Cemetery, Buckley. Visitation will be 2 hours before the service from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Friday at the church. Bear Family Funeral Services, Buckley, is handling arrangements. Jerry was born November 4th, 1924, in Wentworth, South Dakota, the daughter of Fred and Lydia Wirtz Lessman. She married Arnold F. Arn Schult August 17, 1947, at St. John's Lutheran Church, Buckley. He preceded her in death May 13, 2017. She is survived by two sons, Terry Barb Schult of Buckley, Tim Schult of Buckley, a daughter-in-law, Julie Schult of Buckley, 6 grandchildren, 13 great-grandchildren, 3 great-great-grandchildren, and numerous nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her parents, husband, son, Tom Schult, 2 brothers, Herbert and Wilbert Lessman, and a sister, Phyllis Henniger. Memorials may be made at St. John's Lutheran Church, Christ Lutheran High School, or an organization of the donor's choice. Condolences and memories can be shared with the family at www.bayerfuneralservices.com. 11th Annual Tee-Off for Milford Park and Pool Golf Outing, May 10th. The 11th Annual Tee-Off for the Milford Park and Pool Golf Outing is May 10th at the Suwamish Country Club in rural Shelton. According to information provided, outing activities for the day start at 11 a.m. at Suwamish, where each golfer will receive a bucket of balls to use at the driving range. Tee time is 1 p.m. for the 18-hole four-person scramble. The fee to golf includes green fees and a cart, a pork chop dinner after golf, prizes, and games. Participants are invited to join for an afternoon of fun and to support ongoing renovation projects, as all proceeds will benefit the Milford Park and Pool Foundation. For more information on the outing, golfer registration forms, sponsor forms, call 815-417-8757 or check out the Milford Park and Pool Foundation page on Facebook. The deadline to register to golf is May 1st. To be recognized on the sponsor board on display during the outing, all donations of cash and/or prizes must be received by May 1st as well. ICHS Annual Meeting Program, Early Iroquois County History. Iroquois County Historical Society will host its annual meeting Sunday, April 27th, at the Old Courthouse Museum, 103 West Cherry, Watseka. The meeting will take place at 1 p.m. Around 1:45 p.m., Rolf Jaramus will present a program on early Iroquois County history. He will talk about Native Americans in this area and the earliest settlers in the county, where they came from, and where they settled. He will give observations about life in those times. Both the annual meeting and program are open to the public. If you are interested in ICHS, please plan to attend this meeting. ICHS is the nonprofit organization which oversees the maintenance and upkeep of the museum. For more information, call the museum office at 815-432-2215 during normal business hours of 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. You can also send an email to ichs221567@yahoo.com. Current displays at the museum are spring fashions, dresses and hats, Plus, there are several cigar flannels displayed in a case in the front hallway near the entrance. There are two new rooms at the museum, the music room and the hat room, both located on the second floor. This has been Lincoln reading the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, April 10th, 2025. I look forward to reading to you again soon.